So let's go. Thanks for joining the second session, focusing on Office 365 Pro Plus. Who also attended the session in the morning about deployment? So okay, and the majority is new to this session. This session is really focusing on managing updates, so how to bring the monthly updates down to the clients, how to update Office 365 Pro Plus in a managed enterprise environment. We covered the whole deployment story in the morning, so this is really focusing on updates. There will be a session tomorrow at 2:15 or 2:45, I don't know exactly, about Office 365 Pro Plus, where we go into the file structure, registry structure, how to enable logging, and so on. So this is the part in between deploying Office and going into troubleshooting if something is not working as expected. My name is Martin Notnagel. I'm working for Microsoft Consulting Services in Germany, focused on Office deployments, Office client deployments, working with customers on the MSI-based side of Office, and also on the click-to-run-based side of Office. And during the next hour, I would like to cover the Office 365 Pro Plus servicing overview, so how Microsoft provides the monthly updates. And then we go into the implementation options, because what I often hear from customers is that they feel that they have no control about the monthly updates for Office 365 Pro Plus, and that Microsoft is in full control of how updates are deployed, when a client will update. Customers are asking for more control, more management controls, and we offer a lot of controls, how you can create an implementation which is fitting your environment, which is fitting your risk awareness. And then we go into the tools you need to deploy the updates to the clients. And about half of the time, we go into an implementation example, go into a demo environment, and show how we implemented an automated update process at one of our customers. So before I go into the overview of the whole update story, who has played around with Office 365 Pro Plus in the whole update story? Okay, about one third. I will really keep the overview short. I would like to spend more time on the implementation options you have and then on implementation examples to give you a better understanding how you can keep in control with the Office 365 Pro Plus. We changed, when we developed Office 365 Pro Plus, we also changed the underlying deployment technology from MSI, the good old trusty Microsoft installer technology we employed with Office 2000. We changed it to the click-to-run technology, and then also the technology how we update Office changed. In the MSI world, we provided and still providing for the volume license versions MSP file, Microsoft patch file, each month, which can update the installed product. With Office 365 Pro Plus, we are providing a whole new build every month. So the whole set of source files is made available on the Office Content Delivery Network each month. So there are no individual patch files, separate patch files. It's a whole build that we create each month and then distributed across our Office Content Delivery Network. And this build combines security and non-security changes. So we are combining fixing securities and also fixing functional issues and also adding new functionalities. It's all built into one set of source files that is updated at least every month. From a servicing standpoint or from a deployment standpoint, it's a bit more easy if you have a whole build, because you do not have this huge amount of MSP files you have to keep and install on all your client machines. But it's also that you have a 1 gigabyte source file every new month. So the build itself is larger than the MSP files, but the clients can get a calculated delta. So if we are pointing our installed Office clients to the source files, they will automatically calculate what has changed and only copy the changed binary parts down onto the client, and then they will patch their files which are on the client. So in the back end, we are providing a whole build every month, but the client does not have to download the whole build. They download the difference between the current installed version and the provided version. Over the last few months, we added a lot of options and controls to give you more control about the update process, where the updates are located. We implemented or created a command line utility to take full control of the update process. We added group policy settings and also preferences so you can take more control. A year ago, it was a bit rough to create a good managed update process. Now we have really a good set of controls and tools you can use. And in a few minutes, we'll see how we can employ them. So we changed the servicing approach from providing individual MSP files to the Clicktron technology and providing builds every month to be more agile, to be able to implement new features quicker into the product. In the MSI world, all the feature changes, the control changes, were only deployed with a new version, with Office 365 Pro Plus, which have kind of a evergreen approach. We create these new features and functionalities, we implement it in Office, and then we deploy it and provide it to you. So it's more agile. We can take your feedback in account much quicker than with the old 2 to 3 year release cycle. The implementation options. I will give you a quick overview, not so quick overview, because it's really important to understand your options, to pick the right combination of options for your environment. And then we will talk about the tools. So you have two options, which relates to where the source files are located. The one is you're going for a push approach, so you're pushing your updates down to the client, and then the update happens locally. This is like WSUS is doing updates, it's pushing down the MSP files down onto the client machine, and then the patching is happening on the client machine. Or if you're distributing updates with SCCM, you can download all the updates to the client, and then at a certain point in time, SCCM applies all these updates and patches and whatnot. So when you push down the bits and bytes, the network traffic is happening before the updates gets installed. But you can also set the Office client to pull. So during the update, the Office client will pull down the files from a location you specified in your backend, which can be a web server, a network share, DFS share, or you're pointing the client to the cloud and it will download the latest update from the cloud. So this is one of your options if you want to push down the updates and the whole source files onto the client, or if you want to leave it up to the automatic update engine to pull down only the binary deltas from a central repository. Speaking of automatic update, this is kind of the second choice you have. You can leave on the automatic update, which is an update engine built into the Office client, and it runs every day and checks if a new update is available on the update location. So the client itself tries to get a new update. By specifying where the update is provided, you have control about when a new update gets distributed across your environment. Or you take full control, you disable automatic update, and you use a command line utility to invoke the whole update process. Then you have more control about when an update gets applied, how long it takes, if you're interrupting the user, or if you're invoking the update in non-working hours. So you have the choice to go the full control way or the automatic update way. And you have, of course, the options to go an all-at-once approach. So all clients are pointed to the same location, and if you make a new build of Office accessible at this new location, all clients will download the new build and update themselves. So all clients are equal. I know some clients are more equal than others. Or you implement a staged approach, having multiple waves, pre-pilot group, pilot group, production group, whatever you call it, to test the updates before, to make sure that not a line of business application is broken or needs fixing or whatever. So these are the basic choices you have and you should be aware of, and then make the decision what fits your environment, your risk profile, the complexity of your IT landscape best. I'm elaborating so much on this because most customers have the impression that Microsoft is doing an automatic all-at-once push when we make new builds available on our Office CDN, and that's not true. You can take more control about the whole update process. You can go with the defaults. This is like the Office client will pull automatically and all at once, but you have control to design it fitting to your requirements. Let's go a bit more into detail. Pushing down the Office source files means the network traffic will really happen before the update gets applied, but it's a 1 gigabyte source file package you have to push down onto the client. Because when you're pushing down the updates onto the client before the update happens, you cannot use the delta difference functionality. You have to get the whole source files onto the client, and then the actual patching will happen or update will happen on the client itself. You can use, for example, the System Center Configuration Manager or a third-party software distribution tool to distribute the set of source files to the client. You can use all the features, limited bandwidth consumption, off working hours. Maybe the user is able to delay the installation one time, but the next time you enforce the installation. This can then be used if you go this way. Or you go for, as I said, the Office client is pulling down the update, so the Office update engine checks the location you specified, and then it will download only the delta difference between the current installation and the source files provided. I know that network traffic happens during installation less than 1 gig. It really depends on how frequently you update your Office machines. So for example, when you update from the September build to an October build in a pull configuration, the Office update engine pulls down about 130 megs of updates. If you go in the MSP way, it has to download about 800 megabytes of updates. So the data difference really saves us a lot of bandwidth in the pull approach. And as I said, you can specify an update location. It can be a UNC path, HTTP, HTTPS. You can keep it pointing to the Office Content Delivery Network, so to the cloud. You can specify this location during install, or by group policy. By group policy, you can change it afterwards, of course, by just altering the group policy. Then the client is pointed to a new update location. Automatic or full control. As I said, if you leave the updates enabled, the Office client will check every 24 hours for a new update. If it detects a new update, it downloads it in the background, decompresses it, makes everything ready to update, and then it waits up to 3 days for the user to close the Office application or reboot the machine, and then the updates will be applied. If the Office applications are not closed within these 3 days, it will create a toast to the user, updates are waiting, please accept the installation, and then it will close down the application, install the bits and bytes, and then open up the application afterwards. Or you use the full control approach, leveraging a command line utility, Office click to run client.exe. So you're disabling automatic updates and using this Office click to run client.exe to take full control of the update process. So basically triggering the update discovery and installation by command line, which you can execute via SCCM, Intune, or nearly every third-party client management system. And they're all at once versus a staged approach. All at once means if your clients are pointing to the cloud, the moment Microsoft releases a new build, the clients will start to update. If you have your clients pointed to an internal location, the clients will start updating as soon as you have copied the new source files into this location. So then you have a control when you provide the updates to your clients, but then all clients at the same time or within a short time frame will start to update themselves. From a risk management perspective, that means you have to test the updates in a separate environment, not copying it to your central update location. Or you're employing a staged approach, implementing multiple waves, so you have certain sets of Office clients pointed to different locations, and just by copying the source files from one location to the next location, you expand the reach of your update. And we have several customers implemented this way. It gets provided to the IT department first. After a certain amount of time, it automatically copies to the next update location, which can be accessed by a non-IT testing group, which are regular users, and if nobody suspends this process, it gets automatically copied into a so-called production update share, where the whole client machines will pull down the updates from. And this is kind of a testing on the go, so providing it to a subset of your users and letting your users doing their day-to-day job. And if something happens, they have to call the help desk, and then you can suspend this propagation of files. Yeah?
What sorts of volumes require to make the machine approach?
Sorry?
What sorts of volumes, how many people would you need to have in a way before you provide
The question was how many people are must be in one wave.
Two.
There's no minimum and maximum amount of people per wave. It really depends on your decision how many risk you would take. So if you implement only two waves, with the first wave being a good percentage of your user base, you're quicker in deploying your updates, so you're lowering the risk that you're hit by security risk, but you're raising a bit the risk that you're breaking line of business application. If you're implementing multiple waves with smaller percentages, raising the risk that you have a security issue, but you're lowering the risk that the line of business application breaks. So there's no one size fits all. In general, when we implement a two-wave approach, we say at least 10% of your user base from across your organization must be in a testing group. And not only the IT department, because the IT department is really always different than a normal user. So what's really important here is there is no one size fits all. So I will show one implementation example we implemented on the customer side. But you have really to mix and match the different options to fit your landscape, your risk profile, and also the amount of effort you want to invest into managing updates every month. You can fully automate the process, so you have no effort every month, but you have maybe perceived less control, or you do it all manually. It's really up to you. Showing the overview again, the mix and match is not the left side and the right side. You can really mix and match. You can say, I go with a pull approach, automatic update in a staged distribution, or you say, I push all the updates down to the clients with a full control approach. So for example, using SCCM, I'm transmitting all the source files onto the client, then I'm kicking off the command line, and I'm doing this for all my machines at the same time. So you have really, you're really free to mix and match. So which tools do we need? The first important tool is the Office Deployment Tool, which I already showed in the morning, because this tool has a WAC download command line switch, which enables you to download the source files from the Office Content Delivery Network. So if you're distributing the updates from a location on-prem, you have to run ODT first to download the source files. And you have to run it each month to get the latest source files. The second kind of tool are the group policy settings and also the preferences. We implemented the support for group policy settings regarding automatic updates in April. So since April, you're able to control automatic updates through group policy settings, and we also published a set of registry keys you can use to control the whole process, so you can leverage group policy preferences with item level targeting and so on to set the reg keys based on differing criteria. And the final tool, if you want to take full control, is the Office Click to Run client.exe, which we introduced with the Service Pack 1 update in March. And we published the command line switches in June. So this is a supported way to control the whole update process from the command line. It was possible before, but it was not supported. Now it's really supported, publicly documented how to control the updates with the Office Click to Run client.exe. But we will see all three flavors in the implementation example later on. I've put more information about the ODT, the group policies, and the Office click to run client.exe into the slide deck. I would not like to go through them all, so it's more for your reference. Feel free to download this slide deck after this session, and you will have all this information in the deck about the ODT, about the group policy, settings you can use. There are also some blog posts on the bottom of the slide where we documented all the settings. You have to download the current administrative templates to be able to set the group policy settings. And same is true for Office Click to Run.exe. I also linked to the blog post where we documented all the command line switches you can use to have more control of your updates. So I would like to switch over to the implementation example. Or do you have any questions about Office client updates at the moment? We are downloading the whole source files, so it's a 1 gig download at least each month. It's roughly 1 gig for the Office core files and around 100-150 meg per language. So if you're supporting three languages in your environment, providing the source or downloading the source files is 1.2-1.3 gigabyte download each month. So I will show an implementation example where we combine that the Office client will pull down its updates from a central location. I leave it to the Office client to update himself, and I want to have a staged deployment. And I will show you how you can achieve this by using the provided tools as well as standard implementation or features of the operating systems. So I switch now to my good old Azure VM, which is the domain controller and central server in my demo environment. So it's running in the data center, let's say. And first of all, I have to I want to provide or host all updates within my own environment. I do not want to have all clients download the bits and bytes over the internet connection. So the first step is to download the source files every month and put them to a specific location where clients can grab them. And I could do this by command line. So this is a command line. After downloading the ODT and extracting the ODT, there's a setup.exe, which is really a small file. And I give the command to download what is specified in this XML file. And let's have a look into such an XML file. So it really downloads Office 365 Pro Plus Retail, which is Office 365 Pro Plus with one language, the English language pack in 32-bit to a local folder on my server. And I've not specified a version, so it always downloads the latest version which is available in the Office CDN. You can specify a version attribute to download specific older builds if you want to. So, but I do not want to do this by hand, so I automated it. and created a scheduled task that runs every month on the second Friday. So the second Tuesday is Patch Tuesday. And from a risk perspective, I want to take a break of 2 to 3 days, and then I download the Office update. This is really how we implement it on a customer side. So they are not downloading the update the moment we publishes it. They download on Friday. So the scheduled task runs on Friday, and it does a really simple action. It kicks the setup.exe WAC download with the XML file, which will always download the latest bits and bytes. So now I just kick it off, because I do not want to wait until the next second Friday. And now it's downloading and copying the file to my C Office staging, no, testing. Folder. So it now starts to download the source files, and the moment I have the source files on-prem, I can copy them to an update location or point all my clients to this location so they can get the update. But I wanted to implement a staged update approach. This is why I'm using two update locations, which are basically two network shares, one for my pilot group or testing group and one for my production group. And the initial download on Friday happens into the network share for the testing group. And you can see a scheduled task above. 2 weeks later, I copy the files from the one update location, my testing folder, into the production folder, where the majority of clients is pointing or is looking at for a new update. So, and this can easily be implemented by two scheduled tasks, downloading the bits and bytes into your former pilot group. And if I'm not suspending the scheduled task, 2 weeks later it gets automatically copied over to a new location to get the update into the out into my production. So if anything goes, what's it? So if we have an out-of-band update, right?
Yeah.
So if Microsoft publishes an out-of-band update, we publish blog posts about it and stuff, then an IT administrator would have to log onto this server and kick the scheduled task by hand. So if we...
Yeah, and also
the regular updates are published always on the second Tuesday. So this is something you do not have to keep track of. So every second Tuesday a month, we are publishing the normal build. Only if we are publishing an out-of-band build because of a security issue, you would have to kick off the scheduled task manually to get the updates into your environment. So. So bits are downloading, and I've also implemented the scheduled task for copying the files from one location to another location. So it's really a highly sophisticated X-copy operation here, copying the files from Office testing to Office production, because the source files are really dumb files that can easily be copied. There's no magic around these files. It's just a set of files composing the Office build. And so you can easily copy them with Xcopy, Robocopy, or whatnot. So let's see if Download is still running. Let's keep it running. Switch. It's downloading 1 gigabyte of source files with the bandwidth it can get. So there's no throttling in downloading these source files. You have to download the source files from the Office CDN into your environment at only one time per month. So redistributing the source files within your environment, you can use, for example, SCCM to move it across your infrastructure, using SCCM to get a better hold of flaky connections. So you do not have to download it for each individual client. It's only copying it into my data center, so I have it in my data center once, and then I have to distribute it. But it's a 1 gigabyte file I have to distribute if I want to have it on-prem. If I'm pointing all my clients to the Office CDN, they will use an internet connection, download less than 1 gigabyte, but they will use an internet connection. So it's kind of a payoff here. So going back to the slides, fourth point, download source files. Second point is to set the automatic update. And because I have chosen this staged approach, so distributing it to a testing group first and later on to a product group, a production group, I have to point the clients to different network shares. So let's have a look into a group policy preferences. Is this wide enough? It is. So this is an example group policy preference you can use to point to achieve two goals. The first one, point the clients to their nearest update location. The second is to point members of my pilot group to a separate update location where they get the updates earlier. And at least there's a third goal I'm achieving with this implementation. The first entry deletes the update path. So if I do not have a match with the following rules, I'm deleting the update path in the registry, which forces the client to reach out to the Office Content Delivery Network and try to get the update from there. So if I have a client not matching all the other rules, they will kind of fail over to the cloud to get the updates from there. I will show you how we implemented it. It's setting a registry key. When you download the administrator templates for Office 2013 and Office 365 Pro Plus, you also get a spreadsheet listing all the group policy setting, listing all the associated registry keys, so you can look up which registry key is controlling what. And then implement this key path, the value name, and in this case, it will set the client pointed to a server based in Western Europe. This is Windows 12 R2 Western Europe, into or pointing to a network share, which is called Office Production. And there's a item level targeting on this entry. This rec key is set if the client is located in the Active Directory site in Berlin. So if I have users with a mobile device, a notebook or convertible or whatnot, and the user is traveling around, sometimes he's in Berlin, sometimes he's in Paris, sometimes he is in Seattle, this rule will only point him to the Western Europe file server when he is located in the Active Directory site in Berlin. So if he travels to Seattle, for example, the second entry will kick in and check the user is located or the machine is located in Active Directory site in Seattle now and set a different registry key. And the second entry is this reg key is only set if the computer is not a member of a security group called Office 365 Pro Plus Testing, so all my pilot machines are member of this group. So I'm separating the pilot group and my production group. And then the machine is pointed to the Western US server. And it's kind of the same story for the pilot or testing group. I'm pointing clients to a different network share, the office testing network share, where I provide the updates earlier. So this is when somebody is a member of the test or pilot group, the machine will get the updates from there. You can see it in the item level targeting, pointed to the Western Europe data center. If the machine is currently located in the Active Directory site in Berlin, and the computer is a member of my pilot testing group, security group. So let's look onto a few clients. This is a machine located in Berlin, and Zoomit is not running. Now it is. And this machine is running in Western Europe. It's running in an Azure data center in Western Europe. And the group policy preference, based on the IP range, decides it's located in Western Europe and then sets the registry key to the Western Europe file server. I have another client running in the Western US data center. And the same group policy automatically directs this client to the file server located in the Western US. And I've got a third client which I'm not connected to. That can be fixed in a minute. The client is really running far away from us in Western Japan. So this machine is really located in our Azure data center in West Japan, and I have no Active Directory site for Japan. So then the first rule will kick in to delete the update path and point the client to the Office client Office cloud. So this is for traveling users who are not connected to my corporate environment or do not have a nearest file server location, or it's hard to decide what is the nearest location. I can dynamically just point them to the cloud. And through, for example, the Office click-to-run client.exe, I can still control which version the client gets. But I have the benefit that it uses the internet connection to download the update. Well, Japan is really slow today. Okay, let's go get back to the server. Yeah. You want what? Sorry?
If I want to have complete control and not allow the clients to go to the Office cloud to download the updates, is there a way I can prevent that completely?
Yeah, you could set also a rule if none of the other rules is matching. Just set the update path to a local folder, to a local host, or just pointing the Office client somewhere.
Okay, so it will never do a fallback to the Office
client? No. It will only fall back to the Office client if Office Cloud if no location is specified. If the location is invalid or the location is empty, so there are no files, the client will retry and retry and retry to reach this location. Then it will not fail over to the cloud. Japan arrived. So this is a machine running in Japan. And as you can see, under the policies hive, there is no Office hive. Because the first rule of my group policy preferences said deleted the rec key pointing to a specific location. So this client will now go to the Office Cloud and get the update from there. So this is for, if you want to, for traveling users, but it's completely valid to take full control and not point clients to the Office Cloud. Let's switch back to the slides for a second. So what I've shown you is the implementation example for providing the updates in the backend, so downloading them and copying them into your own data center, hosted in the backend, so the clients can pull down the updates. We employed group policy preferences and settings to enable automatic update, and set the appropriate update location based on the current client location, which is only an example. You can use all the criteria group policy preference are able to use. So you can directly define IP subranges, or you can make it dependent on the organizational unit the computer object is joined to or whatnot. So you can really use all the power of group policy preferences to point the client to the nearest update location. And if the update location changes, so for example, you're retiring file servers and employing new file servers, you have to only change it in a group policy preference or group policy setting, and it propagates across all clients, and they will automatically switch over to the new location. This is far more flexible than specifying the update location during installation in the install XML file, which is also possible, but then you have one shot to specify the update location. So it's better to specify by group policy, which will always overrule the update location set during installation. And I also showed the stage deployment. I used two scheduled tasks to download the latest bits and bytes to a certain file share, having a set of machines pointing to this testing file network share, and having the majority of clients pointed to my production share, and employing a second scheduled task to copy the files from one share to the next after a certain amount of time. So in this configuration, the IT department has no additional effort to distribute updates. You just sit and wait for the help desk calling that something went wrong. So it's a fully automated process in two stages, I'm aware of a customer who implemented a three-staged approach, but you can really fit it to your needs. So I will show you how to add more control. Let's go to one of my machines. The machine is pointed to my Western Europe file server into my production share. And I would like to show you the command line utility to take full control of the update process. So the command line utility is located in the program files, Microsoft Office 15 client x64 folder on a 64-bit machine, not a 64-bit office. This folder is dependent on the bitness of your operating system. And this is where all the click-to-run technology really resides, all the underlying services, and also the Office click-to-run client.exe. And through various ways, like SCCM, like logon scripts, or whatever, you can trigger this command line utility with a certain set of command line switches. And WAG update user invokes checking for a newer update of Office. And we implemented several additional command line switches to, for example, suppress any user interfacing. Windows and such. So that's really running silently in the background. So it says, you're up there. You're up to date. Latest version of Office is installed on your computer. Okay, let's check if the download completed. Looks like. But I was connected to a client who is a member of the production group. So I really kick off the copy to production task, and now it's, let's assume 2 weeks passed and nothing, no issues came up from the testing group, and now it's the second scheduled task kicks in and copies all the data from the testing network share to the production network share, so the other clients are getting their update. And if I rerun the command, it will check again for the update. Now it will find a newer version, download the difference, and prepares it to be applied. But I've Word open, so it cannot update the Office installation. And there we have an additional command, force app shutdown equals true. When I kick it off this way, any running application will be closed down, Office will be patched and updated, and the applications will start again. And they will save the data which was entered into the different Office applications. And if you want to take more control, for example, if this client is pointed to the cloud and I kick off this command, it will get the latest version of Office, which is provided by the Office CDN. But I can also use the command update to version equals 15.0.464. This way, I can force the client to update the Office application, even if they are open to the update build from September. So this way I can take full control when an Office client updates, how it updates. If the user is interrupted with any user interfaces or not, and if I'm forcing the update or if I'm just doing the detection download in preparation and having Office waiting for the next time the user closes down the Office applications, and then the update will kick in. It can downgrade to an older version, yeah. I'm not aware of a limit how far we can go back in time. So the update to version is really like go-to version. From a technical standpoint, updating and downgrading Office is the same process. Discovering the difference, downloading the difference, preparing it, and just copying files over the older files. So the Office client can be moved forward and backward in time. So if something goes wrong, for example, we already updated to the October version and we discovered an issue with a line of business application, you can employ this command line to go back to the September build. For the Office client from the underlying technology, there's no difference going back or forth in time. Wrong keyboard. So, now I manually kicked off the updates. As I said, you can suppress any user interface. Now it will detect the difference between the current installation and the build which is provided on my network share, download the delta, prepare, decompress it, and then close down my Word instance, patches up Office, and then reopens my Word instance with my literature, my text being preserved. The document is not saved at the moment, so I just entered the text without saving it. It's running in a virtual environment, so it's maybe a bit slower than usual. But this will happen in the background, so the user is not interrupted. When this process takes 3, 4, 5 minutes, a user won't care because it's really going silently in the background preparing all the data. And let's have a quick peek into the underlying technology. Office 15 data updates. Download package file, root, Office 15. There you can see the files which are getting downloaded from the network share, decompressed, and prepared for being applied. Okay, let's keep this one running in the background. So this is how you can add more control. So you can leave it to the automatic update process or you take full control leveraging the Office click to run client.exe. There's a question.
Is there a detection of
the network for the update process? So if the client knows, if there is a new guest, I have to connect to? No. Update, so it's like a normal connection. Connection types, and the Office client engine does not respect different network connection types. So it's not behaving differently when being connected over a mobile connection or a Wi-Fi connection or a physical network connection. I would like to show you Office telemetry to show you a built-in feature which gives you more insight into how your updates are behaving. With Office telemetry, you can achieve different goals, but you can also have a more insight if updates causing any issues in your environment. For the fully automated multi-staged approach, I said you have to wait for the help desk calling that there's an issue with Office With Office telemetry, you can proactively monitor your clients if Office is behaving better or not so better with the latest Office update. Have you seen Office telemetry in the past? Who's aware of Office telemetry? Some yes, some I don't know exactly. Okay. Let's do the quick one on Office telemetry. It's built into the Office client. It must be enabled by group policy. Then the Office client will start to kind of control or log its own behavior. And then it will update these kind of log files to a central location where you can import all these logs into a database, connect to this database, and then see different events from your environment. So you can, for example, if you want to, you can see which documents and solutions are used more. Solutions incorporates apps for Office and add-ins. You can manage these add-ins. You can see how many time, what is the load time of an add-in, if an add-in crashes, and you can also generate a script to disable add-ins which are not behaving good. You will get notified about issues like when an Office application crashes or if you have performance issues, for example, the Office application taking a very long time to open, and it also reports back the exact version of the Office build, so you can keep track of your deployment, how many machines have updated to the newest version. And you can really drill down into things like ActiveX, how many macros are employed, which builds do I have, and you can also separate different user groups by setting scopes. But I will show you the telemetry dashboard before I talk too much about it. So this is the Office telemetry dashboard, which is a simple, not so simple, but it's an Excel spreadsheet which connects to the database. It's part of the Office product, so you do not have to build it on yourself, on your own. We provide you this kind of a dashboard. It's a database running, so you can create your own reports if you would like to. And in this dashboard, you can, for example, drill down into the solutions to get a more insight into your environments, which add-ins are deployed, how many total users you have per add-in, meaning how many installation you have, and it also gives you an overview of if something is wrong with an add-in. So for example, I have 3 critical events for the OC add-in, and when I click on it, it goes into a more detailed view. I can see that the add-in failed to load for 4 times, but only 2 users are impacted at the moment. But it can also create a custom report to mix and match the information the way I would like to have a deeper insight into my environment. So the custom report by default shows me an overview of all the issues and the count of events. So this is the total count of events since the database is tracking data. But I might add the application version. Now I can see how many events are coming up for each version of Office. So when I'm deploying an update into my environment, I can keep track if the number of for this instance that it ints are not loading properly, if this number is going up or this number is going down, so if it's getting better or it's getting worse. I can also add the the distinct count of computers, so I do not have only the number of events, but also how many machines are impacted, because it could be that only a few machines are running into this issue or event very often, or if I have an event or an issue which happens on a broad user base, but only happening infrequently. So I can add the computer to this overview. And I can also remove, for example, the issue title. Then I can see how many events I have per build version or office version I'm using. So this is a trend not looking too good. But if you look at the build numbers, this was were internal pre-beta builds, so they were unstable by design, kind of. But with this telemetry dashboard and the custom report, you can really keep track how the Office client is behaving, and you might get an insight and see trends before it hits you through the help desk. So when you're deploying a new version of Office or a new release of Office, you can see if a number of events goes up, goes down, or stays the same, not only by being yelled at from the help desk when something goes wrong. Yep. There's also a predefined report on just seeing the deployment number for the major versions, and you can also create a custom report to see the total amount of systems reporting back data. If a system is not reporting back, we will not see it in a dashboard, but as I said, can be controlled by group policy. If you want a subset of machines reporting this data to get a more rough feeling, or if you really want to have all your machines reporting back data. So let's switch back to the slides. The Office update finished, by the way. This was really the focus of this session, showing you what your options are, what for tools you need, giving you an example how you can implement two different approaches, how you can really take full control of Office updates if you want to. If you want to go with a default, so auto-updating against the cloud, it's also fine. But if you want to have more control, you can implement it. And as I said in the slide deck, I've put some additional resources into it because we changed a lot from the whole update and deployment approach. So this is why I'm putting so much additional information into the slide deck. So please download and refer to it. For example, we have a flowchart how the update process works when the scheduled task is triggered and the user's logged on, not logged on. I won't go into detail. This is for your reference. And we also published, for example, on the Microsoft Virtual Academy, a track about the Pro Plus deployment for IT pros, also including the whole update story. And this is also a 1 hour recording of two of our deployment experts from the US. And we have, I think, about 12 modules, 1 hour each, about the Office 365 Pro Plus story in general. So this is really a good source of information, the Microsoft Virtual Academy. Always keep an eye on the Office Deployment Support blog. which is run by our support engineers. So if we implement anything related to Office deployment or Office updating, they will blog about it on this blog. So if you want to stay current, add it to your feed reader, and then you have the latest information when we release additional informations. And a colleague and I wrote two blog posts about how to manage updates. The first one is really going through all the questions we're hearing from customers, so it's Q&A style, and the second one is showing you again an example how to implement a fully automated process with a staged deployment of updates. So we have a few minutes left for Q&A. I would like love to hear your questions and answer them. Before that, I would like to remind you to fill out your evals. This is really important for us. Please fill out the eval, put in your feedback, not only ticking the boxes. I would really like to see some written comments if this session covered what you're interested in, or if you have something to where we can improve next time. Okay, thanks. And for Q&A, step up to the mic, yell across the room, or just come in front to me, then we can discuss more about Office 365 updates. Thanks.